Hello, hello, hello. Can you fit me in? Welcome back. I hope everybody had an amazing 2019. And I'm here to thank you very much so for sticking in there and joining us for season two. We got some like upscale stuff going on in season two. And I just want to thank everybody for following us to the number one tech show out there, and for the same time, just keeping in touch, keeping it real, giving us the love that we want, and also giving us the criticism that we need. So we want to thank you for that. I just want to kick it right off, like real early. We're going to get into a lot of interesting stuff, but this episode today has been recorded the day after the president came on television discussing the coronavirus epidemic that's going on, pandemic actually going around through the world. And how's that affecting everything? So that pandemic is affecting the entire economy in ways that people didn't expect, but we did expect it here at Can You Fit Me In. Me and my other consultant friends and some of my partners even in the company, we've been talking about this and even starting a little modeling of it back in October. I mean, we were so on it. I was like sending people out to get certain things way back in the days, at least suggesting that they would be aware to it. And to be honest, a lot of people did ignore my heeds on this topic. But then later, you know, they came along asking me questions after the fact. Now it hits you and it's home. Sometimes people think that a lot of things are just hype when a lot of times leadership matters in situations like this, and a plan matters, right? So this is a unique time because we're experiencing a time where a lot of things now are being forced to be virtual, right? And that's our space, people. Our space is technology. So we want to give you some examples and maybe some solutions to some things that that may be able to help you out there as you transition. You know, a lot of people, close friends of mine and also clients of mine and former clients of mine, have been texting me, like emailing me, calling me, like, hey, you know, we're in this situation, you know, and we need some ideas about how can we save some things, like our conferences, you know, like our meetings, or you know, just our natural work environment. How does that adjust, you know? So I've been like quite the busy bee trying to implement some of these solutions, but we are in an innovative company and I'm an innovative consultant. So my innovation process to me is so far proven to be quite correct in some things. We even built it inside our software. Our software is built in an on-demand process with something we call a cascading set schedule, which allows you to go ahead and make appointments on demand and have multiple hairstylists, right? That's what our software does, right? It doesn't limit you to one hairstylist or barber. So it just goes through this process, which allows you to have options. But one key option that I made sure was in there as we were building it, I wanted a on-demand virtual environment where basically the stylist and barber would come to you, right? So at the time, no one could really see why is that such a big deal, because this wasn't necessarily or is necessarily the marketplace, you know, for the product, right? This isn't necessarily the marketplace for the product, not at all. It's not necessarily the best place or the bad place for the product. No one's saying that this place is going to blow up one day. Well, I saw it. You know, I'm just being honest. I saw a need for it. I looked at it more than a need, not necessarily for this pandemic, the coronavirus that was going, that popped off in Wuhan, China. I saw it necessarily in the space of being just a convenience thing, that everything was more of a convenience and there would be less loyalty to just, you know, your stylist and your barber in the future, right? But back in October, when me and my colleagues started discussing this outbreak, we start thinking, like, what's going to happen if this thing get over in the U.S.? Like, we start really seeing that maybe we're a little bit more privileged to some things, but because we consult privately and we consult also to the governments and people and stuff like that. But we start seeing some gaps in our process. And it was always apparent to anybody if you really even look at it. You know, we're not just saying we were Nostradamus or nothing like that. But when you do innovative type of thinking and innovative type of thing, your job is to evaluate segments of your business or evaluate segments of your client's business and so on. So you're constantly looking for the next weakness in your modeling, right? You're looking for the next horizon or opportunity. So when we were looking at the next horizon and opportunity that we saw, we just were just so happy to see that our numbers are going up with on-demand virtual appointments, right? And we're not even telling them to do it. It's just the fact that they're just surprised it's in there. Like, wow, you know. We also recently added remote healthcare in there in our software. So they can get remote healthcare in a software. So they don't have to go into a sick environment and they can talk to a real-time doctor and don't have to go in, you know. So that's like really cool. They can just take care of their stuff remote, which allows them, of course, to limit their some of their access to exposure rather to the coronavirus, COVID-19. So I just want to go over some of these opportunities for you out here. If you're kind of like really trying to figure out what can you do in this hostile environment right now, if it's seizing your company. So the first thing, a lot of companies don't really want to change totally that are older and operating. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right? You have a lot of companies out there that are really well off and they're doing what's worked for them. They're doing what they understand. But if you ever heard me on years ago, I was on Chris Curtis radio show and I was talking about the undercapitalization of your IT department, right? And what that should entail. Well, a lot of people think that should entail, you know, hardware and, you know, your help desk. That's just the basis of it. And then they outsource the help desk, so they have a help desk guy. That's the extent of their IT department. We are no longer in that space. Companies cannot afford to be dealing with millions and billions of dollars and have undercapitalization of this space. Small businesses neither. They need to invest in this early on beyond a website, right? The website is an extension of the tools that you'll be using to manage and operate your business virtually so you don't miss a dime as the days go on when you have horrible situations like this virus that's going around. So first scenario kind of thinking, you would be thinking like, okay, what, you know, what do these tools entail? So you have virtual tools that entail video conferencing and instant messaging or emailing. And, you know, that's like the extent of an old school kind of virtual environment, phone calls, and then they use Zoom and, you know, and then maybe they even use it as a presentation software. That's collaborative, I would call on the minimum level. If you're doing that, you've operated a virtual team on the minimum level. But what's more important is, are you accessing, are you bringing in collaborative tools that allows you to do document sharing, you know, real-time editing? Are you able to basically collaborate in real time through instant messenger as you are share documenting tools in our departments? Can you see your whole company from your computer without opening a spreadsheet, right? So like in our company, we use a management software collaboration tool, and I can click on this tool that we use. And we have a small business, right? So it's a tech startup. So, but I can click on it and see every department and the flow of that department. And I can even see the pulse of the department of like, you know, of the whole company, like how many people are working online in real time, what projects they're working on. And what I really like, my favorite part is I can see who reports to who's in the flow process of the chart. So if we create a Gantt chart or something like that, I can see where they're in the process of the project. And I can see when it falls off. You know, we have these tools. I'm going to tell you something. They're not always being used, but we know how to use them. That's the big part. And right now, a lot of it's going to get ramped up with the opportunities we have before us. But my point being is you need to have a person or a team of people that is helping you tackle these issues beyond what you think you got to be the jack of all trades and just keep doing what you're doing, right? This thing is not going anywhere anytime soon, okay? This situation with the coronavirus is going to lag because according to the experts, they're talking about a year out before any type of vaccine will be available readily to the public even. So that in itself to me tells me that they're not messing around, which is kind of fast really for a year, you know, but they're not messing around and we're going to have to start operating differently, but we're being forced to operate differently. See, it's a difference, right? Companies are going to have to start allowing themselves to be in this virtual environment. So I'll give you an example. Recently, I went out and I experienced virtual reality gaming, you know, at a place that allows you to virtual reality game. And I was looking at it like also as a franchising opportunity to have you. So limited modeling gaming, it was real-time virtual reality. Now, virtual reality is people have that at home. You know, you put the mask on and they have it on. But this was on the highest level. You wear the harness, you wear it that way. And I just want to say this is pretty much where we're going, you know, if you're not already there. I'm not saying we're going to be virtual reality everything, but we're going to start being social distancing ourselves and start doing virtual reality scenarios. But imagine what scenarios you can do to still reach the marketplace because we're cocooning, being inside a lot more to a point. And it's a certain group of people, don't get me wrong, they're not going to cocoon. A certain group of people are not going to just stay in and not, and they're just going to keep doing them. And those are the group of people, you know, unfortunately may come into scenarios where it's not that great for them. But we could be cocooning and still get exposed to the coronavirus. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's a difference when you are trying to do something to help the collective rather than being selfish and just focusing on yourself, right? So in technology, we want to take technology and create an extension of ourselves. I wrote something years ago, and if you listen to me in season one, I wrote something for the actor Idris Elba, trying to present it to him. I gave it to his manager, Aronde Garrett. It was a presentation called Walking Virtually, right? This is what I was talking about in my proposal when I was talking about walking virtually, the virtual you. The virtual you is not just social media. The virtual you is an extension of your business to a realm where you can tack into real time into your clients, your inventory, or, you know, your process, your teaching and stuff like that. And we're seeing in huge scenarios where that is paying off. Like universities, they just decided to go virtual. Because if anybody's been to school in the past, I would say past since probably 2011, online schools, schools started allowing people to go to school online. You know, you still might go in the classroom, but your work is still done online. So it really wasn't tough for them to shut down the classrooms. You see what I'm saying? They didn't, you know, they didn't lose anything for not having the student, you know, there in person, you know, because they still did their work online anyway, through Blackboard or some school software, which allowed them to manage their school system, right? So that is a scenario where, you know, that I would hope that a lot of companies would want to get to, right? Having this backup plan, or be it at what I would prefer not be a backup plan. I would prefer it to be a part of the A plan. Like there's an A side of the plan and a B side. I would prefer it to be the AA plan. Like you can have either or option, right? So if you're having these options, you can just allow yourself to flow in a huge dynamic another way. Now, what does that do for the individual that can't work virtually, right? Wow, you know, what about the gig person that is doing these things and they can't work virtually? They're going to have a huge level of exposure, you know, in another way. But normally the gig people are working virtually because they're getting their tasks to a point from some type of app or platform, clouded platform, which is giving them the work. Those are the gig type people. I'm talking about the Uber people, you know, the people that come home and fix your house together, put stuff up to a point, they're working virtually. But they still are having a lot of exposure because you can go around and work virtually and run into a place where people aren't taking care of themselves or even taking it seriously. So I want to get you guys excited about this opportunity to not be scared of going into the virtual space, but be excited about it. How's that going to help me if I'm not even a consultant, but let's just say I'm a person with a business and I, you know, how I'm going to take care of my clients if I do grass, if I cut lawn, right? How I'm going to take care of my clients if I'm doing home health care, right? You know, how am I going to do that if I'm a housekeeper, right? How do I, you know, make money, right? Well, the opportunity some people are hoping for is that the federal government will step in and fund you in this way. But how does the federal government step in and fund people that are self-employed, right? They don't, right? So you're going to continue, you would continue doing things by the wayside almost. If you're self-employed and you have your own kind of scenario where you're just doing something, let's just say like you're a barber or what have you, you're self-employed and you're doing your own thing. If your clients stop showing up, how does that, you know, help you? Well, I want you to start thinking of it. All the money that you're putting into the in-person personality, we got to flip that and push that into a virtual personality. We got to start marketing ourselves online at a higher level precision rate like never before. The individual has to market themselves now. You see what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to exist just off your client base anymore because the competition is about to go up, right? I'm supposed to have a dentist appointment next week. I've already had one like 4 months ago for a nice cleaning, but I'm supposed to be coming up on another one. And I really am thinking about it. You know, like, I'm really thinking about it. Like, do I really need this cleaning right now? I don't know, you know, because that's a doctor's office. And I look at it like a lot of exposure might be up in there, you know, to a point. My favorite dentist, by the way, they're a great dentist group. So, but we have to come to the conceptual thinking that a lot of businesses are going to shut down. And it just because businesses are shut down doesn't mean you can't reinvent yourself. So you need to take 5 more minutes with us and we'll be right back. And we'll just tell you possibly maybe some ways you can reinvent yourself real quick that you aren't even thinking about. Thanks very much. We'll be right back.
For stylists, their time is their money. Stylists and barbers are looking to make better management of their time. Perhaps they're looking to sell things like booth space or find better hair care products or even new clients fast. You see, clients, stylists, distributors, manufacturers are looking for less uncertainty in their daily schedule with each other. Well, uncertainty just met certainty. Can You Fit Me In is a cutting-edge platform designed to help the beauty industry connect in real time. With Can You Fit Me In, everyone can choose to reschedule or cascade schedule their appointments based on alerts when anyone is running late. So when you know, everyone can know. And we didn't stop there. Can You Fit Me In also helps stylists or barbers to bypass overpriced product stores and order direct from a master distributors or manufacturers, allowing them to have quality products at cheaper prices. They can even order products and have them delivered on demand with Uber. I know, wow, right? Got vacant booth space? We got you. We help you buy and sell direct to salon or stylist. So what do you say? Can we fit you in? Visit canyoufitmein.com to get started.
Welcome back. So what are those opportunities? What are some of those maybe solutions out there for us to basically go virtual, depending on your particular situation, you know? So I want to probably get you in a mobile and keep it simple, not too technical. You have to define yourself, right? Define yourself in this space. You might know who your client is, right? You might even have a way to access your client, but have you built anything to access your client virtually, right? Some people's version of access people virtually is mailers, you know, and so on. If your client is a certain class of people that still reads mail, I don't. But unless I have to, I even get my mail scanned, by the way, so that's how I read my mail. But you have to decide on, how do you begin the process of reaching your client virtually? Well, you're in luck, okay? Because a lot of things have changed since way back in the day, of course. People are more acceptable to dealing with things virtually now than ever, right? And our examples are social media, video games, virtual games. You know, we play games virtually with each other, even in an office or whatever. You play online, you play word games and so on, right? So what we have to become is just a more complete marketeer and digital tier and information and technology consultant or person to solve these problems, right? You are not to be the answer to these problems. Your job, your only job, if you have opportunity and capital, is to reach out to a professional person that can help you solve these problems, right? Instead of trying to band-aid them with solutions you think to just make sense, right? A solution that you might think to make sense would be to build something that you've already done and just keep doing what you've already done, So if you have a website and you want to keep doing the same thing you're doing, you're going to be missing out on some money if the website is not modernized enough to deal with the influx of people that aren't going to be coming to your business anymore, that may not be going into the stores at the same level anymore, to buy your products anymore, right? Your e-sales need to go up, right? Your factory security and protocols for assessing risks need to go up, be it people that are sick and so on, right? Because somebody got to deliver these products, right? And these people delivering these products and these people that are making these food, they're not immune to coronavirus, right? They're not. That's just the facts. Let's keep it real, right? So we need to start looking at ourselves that, hey, at least I need to get me a plan. Nobody's out here trying to spread fear, right? All day long and just be like, boo-hoo, it's the end of the world, right? Odds being, most of the people that are being affected by the coronavirus are quite surely going to make it. But you don't want to be responsible if you don't need to be giving it to someone else, that has an underlying health condition. That's not necessarily just somebody older, right? You don't want that on your shoulder, right? So what we want to do is just assess technology in such a way that it's reasonable for us. And at the same time, we listen to some experts, okay? I'm going to say it again. Listen to some experts. Do not try to become the expert. Do not go on YouTube and then all of a sudden look at a video and think you're an expert. That's not it. An expert is somebody that does something for a living. I am not an expert because I know how to play a flight simulator game. I've never flown in the air at all. Flown a plane ever, but I can play a flight simulator game. Do you think I'm an expert because I watched somebody take out a kidney on YouTube? You gonna let me take out your kidney? I don't think so. So you need to assess these things differently, right? If you are a chef and you are making food and you are making or a baker making cake and you're cooking it at home or you're cooking it what have you, how do you ramp up that e-model? That e-model, e-commerce, by the way, model needs to become, everybody need to become a little mini Amazon, right? Everybody needs to virtually react via video conference chat, IM, and so on. Everybody needs to ramp this up, right? It's going to be, again, it's going to be a certain group of people that come in, but your numbers are about to go down in the beginning of this phase, right? And just sitting on a pack of inventory is doing you no good. It's doing you absolutely no good, right? So you're losing money as that inventory is sitting there, right? Because you think, oh, if I had to sit a year, I could do it, right? But you're missing something. The consumers on the back end, where you're not, you know, participating in the e-model, somebody is, and they're taking your space and they're taking your consumers. Think about that. While you just sitting around waiting for the retail stores and people to come in and you're putting product in there, it's not moving the same way it should be using maybe. You're missing out on the e-opportunity of a lifetime, right? You're missing out on it. And somebody else is pushing that, right? So one of my clients told me that they had focus grouped one of their products, and the way the product and the focus group said the type of products that they were selling, it didn't focus group well on e-commerce type scenarios. You know, the product they were selling did better in stores because the individuals they were selling to like to mix and match these products, and you know, they sold it better there. I took that with a grain of salt because they said they did that like 5 years ago, right? So I was like, in 5 years, do you know how much has changed in technology in 5 years? They had no clue, right? Because what we're really problematic is we are a victim of, a real victim of, we're a victim of our own tragedy. And that's being, we're in our own bubble, because if we aren't looking at it through our glass, we think it hasn't changed, right? So we think the business hasn't changed, right? So it's kind of like if you like 90s hip hop, you really may not like this music so much that's going on now. You may not look at it that way. We're a victim of our own bubble, right? But certain group of people, experts, they visit bubbles. Especially innovation and tech experts, they visit bubbles. And as they visit these bubbles, they go on and on and on to the next bubble. Okay? They come up with ways to get it, right? So you want to be what I call a sheriff of your town, and a sheriff would be looking at the security of the town. And they would get to know everybody in the town, right? And a part of your task as a sheriff is to be a little politician, but at the same time enforce the law, right? Well, also part of a sheriff's job back in the day was to round up a posse. And that posse is a consultant or expert to help you solve these problems, okay? So we want to tackle these problems quickly and within a form of a budget and a certain level of trust. I'm gonna say this, you need to trust your experts. They get nothing for failing you in this moment, right? And you wanna say so-called expert, so if they're so-called expert, maybe they're not the expert for you, right? An expert for you is just one that you trust, right? And I'm gonna tell you something, they're not gonna always deliver on everything that they say because they're going to be changing. But if you give them all the tools they need, they should deliver on everything they say. That's how I feel about it. If they, you know, that's within their control. Let me put an emphasis on that, because they can't do anything if a product didn't come in, you know, and have you. And they may even had a backup plan for it, but the product didn't come in. I got my car fixed the other day at the tie rods change, and then I had to also had a wheel bearings change. I didn't know the wheel bearings need to change. But I was rolling with my father, and he said that the bearings need to be changed. I was like, no, it's just the tie rods, because the expert told me it was the tie rods. I didn't say to myself, well, I'm sitting with another expert, and he can hear the wheel bearings. See, that was my mistake. Trust your experts. Okay? So, you know, that money went in and got it all repaired. So I got a high-end luxury car, so you got to put money in it to make it work from A to B. But my point on another level is, don't be afraid. There is nothing that you can do in technology that can't be almost redone, right? If somebody takes down your website, crash, we can put it back up. If somebody overwrites your code, we can get it back. But right now, the danger in this environment of people being sick or what have you, we are exposed. Our security is exposed, right? That's the next innovative frontier, right? Our private information is exposed, right? Because we're sick, we're slacking, we're not paying attention to things we do, right? And there are people that are taking advantage of those opportunities. So you want a tech expert to help tighten up your security protocols and tighten up your exposure. Okay. So as we do these things, you know, we should be not only faithful that we're going to get through this as a people, we're going to get through it as the strong, innovative consultants and professionals we are, as strong, innovative, young and talented people are. There's no place in the world like America, United States of America. I'm just keeping it real. For all our flaws, people from all over the world flock to be here. It is a reason. It is a reason even the stock market is losing $1 trillion a day, right? It is a reason. It's built in one harmonious faith that you and us are built to walk together through these things. And the young people, you guys have to be patient and help the older people change to technology. Younger people just are more open to change better. Older people are resisting a change, right? We're very resistant. I'm not that old, but I'm old enough that I like stuff the way I like it, you know? I just do, right? I get more settled in your ways because you feel more secure, right? When I go play basketball now, I don't even play basketball against people no more. I really work out really, really hard by myself while I play against my brother or whatever, but I don't really want to play with a whole bunch of young people that's going to be running around and, you know, shooting a lot of shots and not scoring a lot, right? That's not really my goal. My goal is to stay in shape, be consistent, and I'm settled in my ways, right? I'm not trying to prove anything. That doesn't mean I don't have a competitive edge. It just means that the game of basketball for me has changed, right? When I was younger, I just want to prove I was the best. Well, I've been the best at certain games, at certain times, you know, but no one stays the best forever. So I just want you to chew on that. You chew on that. Next week, we're going to have a special guest from a major, major company that is going through this situation in real time, right? So I want to thank you guys for your time. I want to thank you for your service, and I want to thank you for fitting me in. And I want y'all to get excited about season 2. And if you have any questions, just leave it on the Can You Fit Me In voicemail line, right? And feedback and love is always welcome. And a special shout out to my Tuskegee bros. They've been holding me down. We've been watching each other and listening to each other. And I want to just tell them I love them. And let's go. I am always excited about the next opportunity. I'm always believing in you. And I will always be there to support you in your goals and innovative ideas. You know, because you always fit me in. Y'all take care.